All right, here we go.
Welcome to Invibes Podcast, home of good music, good libations, and good vibes. Now here is your host, Eric Milletz, and producer, Ernest Stevenson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Invibes Podcast. Episode 3, Season 5. We're back at our home sweet home, Tommy's Pub. This place is bumping. It's a Wednesday night, man. The place is packed, so apologize for the noise in the background. This makes for more work for Ernest to have to do, so...
Don't I know it. I have to crank everybody up, I guess.
Yeah. We got some special guests in the house tonight. We got two members from Body Bites. You guys want to introduce yourselves real quick?
Good evening.
Oh, I like
I'm Dustin.
I'm Jared. Play drums.
We are the unofficial tag team champions of the Body Bags.
Body Bags. Of horror punk.
Or spooky dookie music.
What's everyone drinking, man? I got the normal. I don't know if anyone knows, there's a national shortage of Magners, so I'm drinking the old original Austin Two-Side Cider. And some, I'm not drinking Jameson.
Not only a national shortage, they just ain't shipping it here anymore.
See how the jury today.
Rum.
Mm.
That's what you had last episode.
Well, I'm wearing my pirate socks today, so I had to drink rum. Yeah,
it's appropriate.
Yeah. Arr, sorry, I had to
do. Do you know the favorite letter of the alphabet for a pirate?
I want to say R, but I have a feeling you're
actually
say
the
something.
C.
There you go.
What do we have in here?
Okay, we got the dad jokes out of the way.
Yeah.
Hams.
Oh, you
Hams.
Can tell.
Yeah. Ernest, what are you drinking?
I am drinking an excellent Kolsch from Devil's Logic Community Kolsch.
Devil's Logic.
And what is this one?
That is house bourbon. So
is this Quality House?
Quality House.
Are they got Quality House back?
I don't know if it's quality, but it's...
Well, it's a Heaven Hills product, so
okay.
It's not bad. For $10 bucks a bottle.
Yeah. I'll drink it. Since our last podcast with Patio, I don't know if you guys listened to that episode at all, but that was awesome. We did that remotely, and I felt like it went good. So, but since then, man, we've been...
Your big head.
Man, if you watch it, the first thing that pops up on the screen is my big fucking massive head. I was like, whoa!
It's way too close to the camera.
I won't sit that close to the camera anymore. Yeah.
High definition.
Oops. I've been to quite a few shows since our last episode. Went and saw Twin Temple at the Underground. That was a cool show. Remarkably dragged out my wife to go to that show. She doesn't go to shows with me anymore. Yeah. She used to before we had kids. But I was like, come on, it's doo-wop. It's not metal or anything. It's not crazy. And then
it's doo-wop.
And then she got there and the whole stage is upside down crosses and they start, worshiping Satan. And then, she was cool about it until they started tearing out pages of the Bible and sacrificing fake babies on stage. And I was like, oh, sorry. I don't know what to tell you, but oh, well.
At least it was fake.
It's fake, yeah. It's like wrestling, man. It's like the Brood or something,
Yeah. Bloodbath. It wasn't real blood.
How dare you say it's fake?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
No. That was fake. Wrestling. I don't use the F word when it comes to wrestling.
It might be predetermined, but it's definitely not fake.
No.
Yeah, Twin Temple's great.
Yeah. And then this past Saturday night, I went to... Now... I don't really like going to tribute band shows or cover band shows, but I did go because Russ.
Some of them are not bad.
Russ Ward was like, man, come out. This is my daughter's band. The Alice Cooper tribute band, Love It to Death and Amos's.
Nice.
I walked in and I was like, oh, this is going to be good. They had a heating up on stage and a bunch of candles and smoke going and a bunch of props and everything, man. And dude, I mean, it was a female lead singer singing Alice
Cooper songs, and they kept it to like early Alice Cooper stuff. Nothing from the 80s, nothing recently. Then no Feed My Frankenstein or Poison or any of that shit, which is funny because I was telling Russ when I was in high school, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year, they did a lip sync contest.
Yeah.
With all of us, and you know, all the kids come out, and me and my buddies did Alice Cooper Poison. Like, we all got we dressed up like Alice Cooper,
yeah.
Did the snake, you know, fake snakes that wouldn't let me bring my actual python into school to do it. And then we made like a drum set out of wood up on stage. We didn't win a damn thing. And like, I think the one that won was Copacabana. They did Barry Manilow's Copacabana, and they brought out like a whole Hawaiian thing, and then I was okay. Like, all right, whatever. But so that Alice Cooper tribute thing was awesome though, man. I thought, you know, walking in there, I'm like, I don't know about this, man. But no, they actually did a really good job. It was like a 2-hour show too, man. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It was fun. It was over by I think 10:30, and Brent, when you listen to this, I'm gonna call you a fucking old man. I'm like, dude, it's Saturday night. Let's go out and do something, man.
Yeah,
I just want to go home, go to sleep. I'm like, dude, you're single. You don't have any kids. I'm married.
And he's young.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, let's go do something. No, man, let's just go home.
We played there not too long. We played there like what? It wasn't last year, was it?
We played with the Queers back in 2021, September 2021.
So I missed you at that show because I was there, but I came in late, I think.
Gotcha.
You guys had
it was
had
us. Already played. Yeah. I can't remember the middle band, and then it was the Queers. It was not such a great turnout, but it was fun though.
Yeah,
we played with the Misfits there. What year was that, dude?
Was that 2008?
But it was a whole different. The stage was on the other side of the building.
You're right. Yeah. So, you know, I've seen three different stages of Innocence. Okay. The first time I went, the stage was in that front corner, and it was just the front with the balcony.
Yeah.
And then right. I guess when Penny bought into it after she left Tremont, she opened up that whole building and then moved the stage to the front.
Right.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they shut down and they reopened with only half of the place. Now the stage is in the back. So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've only been to one show there. Well, I wasn't in the band at the time, but I saw them play with the Misfits or Graveyard. I can't remember if it was the Misfits or Graveyard.
We did another thing there called Nightmare Before Christmas with Graveyard Boulevard.
That's the one I saw.
They really gave us like a lot of opportunities in the beginning, like playing shows like that and stuff. Yeah.
I saw Taken Back Sunday there in like 2008.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Taken Back Sunday in Amberlin.
It was
a really, really good show. Yeah, just this past weekend, I went down to Atlanta and I saw Alkaline Trio. I wasn't a huge fan.
I was going to go Sunday.
Yeah.
But $55-$60 to go to the Fillmore. I'm actually more of a fan who opened for him, the band that opened for him, Drug Church.
Drug Church, they were surprising. I had given them a listen like on Spotify and wasn't really feeling it, but like,
yeah,
it was awesome.
It doesn't justify him live. No,
we weren't watching them, but we were downstairs in the Tabernacle in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and as soon as they started, you just see the floor bouncing above us, and I was like, dude,
those guys work the crowd. So I saw them open for the Bronx at Underground, which sadly only like 100 and I think I said 114 tickets were sold for that show.
Yeah.
So it was Drug Church and the Bronx at the Underground.
Yeah.
Drug Church came out and they're like, all right, normally we get the crowd bumped up, but
right,
there's no one here. So just bob your heads.
Yeah.
Just bob your heads for us, guys. It's like, all right, cool. You know, I talked to him afterwards. That was a fun show. I'm a huge fan of the Bronx.
I found them out through Frank Carter in the Rattlesnake.
The Rattlesnake, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I always followed him from Gallows and Pure Love and all that. Like, have you ever checked out the Pure Love stuff he did?
Frank
Carter had a band before the Rattlesnakes
called
Pure Love. And before that, he had Gallows.
Gallows. No, I knew of Gallows. Yeah. I didn't know the band.
Pure Love is like between. If you listen to the Rattlesnakes now, like the way they're evolving, Pure Love was kind of like a pre
step to that band. Like, okay. Because he started singing and being melodic. Right. And check it out. Like, you'll find it. It's okay. It's all. They. I think they released like one record. And I feel like an ass for not knowing the name of the record.
Yeah,
I listen to certain songs so much from that
it's
era.
Night and day between the Gallows and him.
Oh yeah, because it's like a lot. Yeah. I mean, like you listen to Gallows because you like how dismal and badass it is. Pure Love is just as badass, but like in a whole different direction.
And that awesome cover of Black Flag's "Nervous Breakdown" on that album too.
Oh yeah.
Huge Black Flag fan. Anyways, we didn't come here to talk about that. We came here to talk about the Body Bags. So you guys have probably talked about this 100,000 times, but
only to ourselves. This is our first podcast, actually. Really? Technically.
Oh, well, nice.
We had one a few years ago, but it was by myself, and this is like the first anything close to like the full band we've done. So,
all right. Well, how'd you guys get started? What brought up the Body Bags?
You can tell the first little bit.
Hey, that's long. Actually,
the band started actually.
Sorry.
After me getting kicked out of his other band.
Yeah.
Like the night I got kicked. You know, that teenage.
What'd you do?
I didn't do. Here's the thing. Here's how you get kicked out. You don't do anything. And when I mean anything, you just don't do anything. You didn't learn guitar.
Yeah.
You didn't show up to shit. I don't know. I was an idiot. Anyways, he kicked me out. He didn't kick me out. He just gave me the kick out. Like, hey, they're kicking you out.
Yeah.
With a note. And I was like, whoa, sorry, life's bro. Over. We'll start another band. So. And down the line, he came back in. But there was like a whole big chunk of the band with other people. Salute to all of them for putting up with the bullshit and loving it and all that. But I think the band now is where the band really, we kind of like keep record of stuff, really. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. So it started in 2006.
Okay.
The long story. Started in 2006 with him. It's a couple people from high school. I filled in 2007 on drums, a couple shows here and there. He ended up filling in for my band at the time, a couple shows on guitar. And we played a lot of shows together, like Tremont and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then
rest in peace, Tremont.
Oh yeah. We've actually played the last, we got to be a part of that last show there. Then December of 2015.
Yeah. I think the last show I saw there was Guar. And I think that was in November of that same year. Awesome. So yeah.
That's awesome, man. But yeah, they hit me up in like 2013. I was like, hey, you want to be my drummer? I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I hadn't played music in well over a year. And been going strong 11 years this summer. And yeah.
We didn't like each other in the beginning. Let's just put that out there right now. Let's just clear the air. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we didn't like each other at all.
I didn't like him because he had long hair. Stupid high school.
No, that's like serious stuff back then, buddy.
His long hair was cooler than mine. It was like really curly, and I was like,
I got beautiful locks.
He was jealous
when I grow up.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was jealous of his long hair, so I was like, I don't like this guy.
It's like Shawn Michaels and Marty.
Oh man! So what happened? No barbershop window.
So he threw it through a window. Yeah.
He cut it back in 2020, and then he never grew it back out. And every time he's grown it out since,
he hates the band.
He hates it, and then he buzzes his head.
Yeah, I have these.
Are you bald though?
Yes.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Started shaving my head in 2020. And
yeah.
Once it gets to a certain point,
you know,
I understand.
I started shaving my head, but I still had hair.
Yeah.
And I could have. I mean, I had long hair then.
Yeah.
And I just got tired of having to wash it and do something with it every day, so I shaved it off. And then you know, now I can't really grow it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, shit, I should have kept it when I had it, but what a while.
Every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, I hear like 80s hair metal, or I listen to Wasp or something. I'm like, it really sucks that I can't windmill right now. Like, listen to Round and Round and can't do that without looking like you have Tourette's or something.
Top rock.
So now we just take care of these.
Right.
Yeah.
It's opposite now. Yeah. It's funny, when I was at Amos's, I saw Stripers coming. I was telling my buddy who's with me, I'm like, these Stripers coming. He goes, who's that? I'm like, they're a Christian cock rock band. He goes, cock rock? What the hell is that? I'm like, I'm sorry, I call all 80s bands cock rock. I'm like, he goes, so, are they really heavy? I mean, I'm like, you've never heard of Stripers? Yeah, he's like, no, dude. I mean, he's 20-something years old. But still.
Yeah, they like throw out Bibles for like at the shows and stuff.
I've never done a Striper show
on the front.
You know what though? I might go.
I might just try.
Yeah, fuck it.
Get you a patch, bro.
Yeah, I'm like telling myself a lot.
You went to Twin Temple, and now you're going to make up for it by going to Striper. Yeah.
Right beside each other.
You know what though? Afterwards, after that Twin Temple show, I could tell my wife felt really guilty about going. I was like, "Don't worry about it." You know, I told him, "No, don't worry about it. It's all fake. They're not really satanic." And then, you know, later on, I was like, "I think they are actually," because I you know, went online and read about them later. Yeah. I'm like, "Oh."
They're doing some Anton LaVey stuff.
I mean, they like, so the first time I saw them, they, you know, brought up a person and baptized them up on stage with the blood and everything. But now so many people want to have it done, they do that. There's like a line after the show. Oh, and they have a table and a booth set up afterwards, and everyone goes over there, gets baptized into the Church of Satan. Yeah.
You charge everybody?
I don't know if they're charging people.
I would.
They probably should, yeah.
Save your money. Just go see Cancer Slug and get a Cancer Slug symbol carved in your arm. Yeah.
I'm so bummed I missed that show.
It was, yeah, dude, yeah. It was a great show. It was an awesome show. I wish they could play the Fillmore. Because I want to see him on like a big stage. Mm-hmm. I don't like the underground. I don't like that venue at all.
I've never been. I've heard
it's a very small venue, and they still charge prices for like a big concert. So it's still $15 for a bottle for a can of damn White Claw, dude.
It's Live Nation.
I know. I know, but unfortunately, that's where all the fucking bands go when they come through town. So they don't go to Amos's. I'm sorry, Amos's. When they do go there, nobody shows up. Like the queer show we were talking about earlier. That place is empty. I saw the Agger Lights and Long Beach Dub All Stars there on a Wednesday night. It was empty.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when I was eating at the gin mill, the Agger Lights were in there, and I talked to them for like an hour. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" And we talked about their set and everything. They came out to play, and there was no one there, dude. There's maybe 10-20 people in that fucking place when they were playing. I could tell they were pissed, but whatever. I think
that's something to do with the parking. A lot of the parking is an issue there.
Well,
you know, because I think we had to pay them, like we were playing, you know?
Yeah.
They had to pay because they parked elite, like parked in the
hall. The other people, it was their fault. It wasn't
now, if you go to the underground, you have to pay to park.
Yeah.
But if anyone goes, here's a little tip for you, go to VBGB's. They will validate your parking for you.
Okay,
now, I've had it happen to me twice. I paid for parking on my phone. It said it went through. One got it validated, came back out, and I had a damn $75 ticket on my hood.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? I paid this shit. And they're like, no, we don't have any record of you paying it. I'm like, this is bullshit. So I actually went online after the Twin Temple show, because that's the last time it happened to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this is bullshit. There's something wrong with the guys' act, because I fucking paid. Mm. So, whatever.
Yeah, I was looking at tickets for Alkaline Trio on Sunday, and it's the first time I looked up stuff for the Fillmore in years, and they had that $12 parking pass telling you where to park, basically behind. Is that diner still there?
No, that diner moved to.
No, that's Moorhead. That is the parking deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like showing the picture of like the parking area, and it was like telling me it's $12 for back then. I was like, man, I was like, you should just be like, you know, first come, first serve kind of thing. Just like
right,
it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Gravel parking lot.
Yeah.
If you go early, which the first Twin Temple show I went to there, there's that little driveway that drives in between the VIP parking and the parking deck. If you can find a spot along that road, that's free.
Okay.
So if you go early, you can get a free spot. If not, you're paying $12. Or just go into the place and get it validated, but you're still going to spend that much on a drink.
Yeah.
Because you can't validate unless you have a drink. So whatever.
Gotcha.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to get off subject.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, you did.
Squirrel? Sorry. Anyways, continue, guys, with the history of the
body. So, wait, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
That's so what we were talking about, the history of the body bags.
I joined in like 2013. You know, been running strong, and we recorded a record in late 2013, early 2014. It's called Hoist the Colors.
Yep.
That was with our last singer and really the final lineup before really what we are now. Mm-hmm. And then had a couple lineup changes between 2015 and 2018, people coming and going. And then 2018 is really what solidified the current lineup. Kyle stepped away. So Dustin's always done vocals, but mm-hmm.
Very little in the beginning.
Very little. He was just like, they kind of shared stuff, but it's been him and myself, mostly him at first, but I've kind of stepped mm-hmm. up and taken over essentially what he did back in the day.
Yeah.
The alternating parts and a lot of stuff. And that was 2018. And then in 2019, we recorded the Endless Ravenous EP, 5 songs. And
we did that at Dead Peasant.
Oh, yeah. Dead Peasant Studio with Brandon Hamby.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was, I shouldn't say he was, he is and was an...
There we go.
There you go. Title track, Endless Ravenous.
When I first started listening to you guys, I got a vibe between, and I hope you guys don't take it, offense to this, Misfits meets Hot Water Music.
Okay. Gotcha.
These, especially the vocals.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I mean. I've never seen Hot Water Music. I was going to go see him in Atlanta in May, but there's so many damn shows coming through here. I'm like, I'm not going, man.
It's a good time to be going and checking out music. There's a lot of stuff coming through.
There's a lot of good shows. Drain's going to be at the underground. Tyrus playing Skylark. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bungle's going to Raleigh. Nice. Prong's playing Raleigh in a few weeks. I plan on going to that. I've never seen Prong.
I mean, nonstop, dude.
Yeah, it's like, God almighty, man.
It's like between the Buried Meetings tomorrow and Friday at the Underground. Then in, I don't know if there's anything in April I really want to see, but May is like stacked.
And they just announced Baroness and
Red Fang and Winston.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, man.
And then a lot of stuff coming through Charlotte, too. It's not really like our genre, but Lords of Acid. I really want to go see Lords of Acid, but we'll see if I go see
it. I want to go to that. And was it Health or Heath, whatever the fuck their name is? Heath, they're playing next Tuesday. Now, that's my wife's type of shit.
Yeah.
I dig them too, but I'm like, hey, if you want to go to the show, I promise you there's no people being
sacrificed
on stage. If we're to go check this out, she's like, I don't know. That sounds like something I want to go do. Yeah. So, yeah, that might be a show I go to. I just wish it wasn't at the goddamn Fillmore, man. I'm tired of that place.
Yeah.
The Milestone gets a bunch of cool shows. I don't know if you guys like ska at all, but the Toasters are coming through in May as well. Nice. Like, come on, man.
And then someone just announced a tour. I can't remember the name. I don't even know what kind of music. They just announced a show at the Miles. I'm pretty sure that's in May as well.
Yeah.
It always packs out over there for them.
I'll be broken, man.
Yeah, same here. And then we're going to see like a couple shows in June and July, and then in August this year. So before the end of summer, I'm gonna be broke for sure.
Not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, we go driving down to Columbia to see Melissa Waste and Ghoul. So fucking pumped for that show.
Where are you going to see him at?
At the Senate. I want to say, it was October, man. Me and my buddy Brent bought tickets to go see him up in Asheville at the Orange Peel.
Yeah.
We saw Blitzkid there not too long ago, didn't we?
In Columbia, yeah. We saw Blitzkin at the end of 2022.
And, he's my dates guy. I just throw everything him. I'm like, tell them the date.
It was in November of 2022. We went down to the New Brooklyn Tavern and saw Blitzkin. It was awesome.
Man, I wish I would have.
Yeah, it was cool seeing them again. We played a bunch of shows with them back in the day.
Yeah.
That's one of the shows I filled in for them on back in 2008, I think.
Played there. We played,
Cootie Hut.
I played with them in Florence. Milestone. We played down in someplace in Myrtle Beach. I can't remember the name of it, though. Played there. Those kids are a huge inspiration to how the band got started and stuff.
I'm excited to see the new Brooklyn Tavern because they had to move.
Yeah, I haven't been to the new location.
I didn't like the old spot. I went down there and saw the Subhumans.
Okay.
And I was like, it's kind of weird. Like the stage, you had to walk around to the front and get in like a little pit that goes in front of the stage. Nice crowd. Like, you know, I met a bunch of other bands that were, you know, just there for the show.
Yeah.
I met a lot of cool ass people down there, but I mean, I didn't really care for that venue too much. Sorry, New Brooklyn Tavern, if you're listening, but.
Well, I hear the new one's going to be a whole lot better.
Pictures I've seen, it looks a lot better.
It's kind of like from what I saw, it's like the visual light, but not like the steps down going under the stage. So, okay. Yeah.
I've never been to the visual light. I've seen video and pictures, but never been. Yeah.
Who did I see there last? Oh, the Melvins.
Okay.
That was the last show I saw there. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. So you guys have two albums, right?
Yes.
Two. You guys, your last one was out in 2022, right?
2020.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You going to put out anything new anytime soon?
We're hoping to get into the studio. We have quite a few songs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to get in there by the end of the year and get some stuff recorded. And
there's a lot of stuff we want to re-record too. We're kind of bouncing around the idea of doing a lot of old songs that we don't necessarily have any good, not good recordings, but like good up-to-date recordings of like how we sing them now, you know what I mean? Because we had a couple albums with the other group, and we just want to kind of have some updated stuff. So we might put out a couple singles or stuff like that of just that live stuff. And then we've got, like he said, a bunch of songs we're working on that I think it's taking us in a new direction, but like definitely where we've always been heading. So I'm excited about it.
Who came up with the idea to do horror punk?
It's kind of, it's weird. I mean, because
I'm not knocking it. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was,
I love it.
Especially like growing up in small town Fort Mill, like his band, the prior band, was industrial horror band. And I think the only reason I ever got like asked to be in his band was because I was like walking around with a Legacy Brutality t-shirt on, you know, and they were like, oh, he's cool. Oh, you play guitar. Little do they know, I only knew like three chords. I only know five now. So, and
you only need three chords.
Yes, sir, for a good rock and roll song.
That's all you need.
Yes, sir.
Punk rock is three chords.
I actually had a guy get in my face one time. I was like, no good song was written in three chords.
Oh, bullshit.
No joke, really. And I was like, are you kidding me? All right. You guess you're right, buddy. But yeah, like, it was kind of a weird thing. It was just like, I don't know. I heard the Misfits and I was like, I couldn't see myself being in. It's like Stephen King. Everybody asks him, like, why do you choose to write this? And he's like, when did you think I had a choice? Like, it's just right. Like, that's just the easiest thing that comes to me is the morbid or morose or subterranean shit. It's just fun to write. I don't know. And it's only got more like now the fun part is writing it with something that an underlining meaning to it, to the song that no one else is going to get. Cause you're talking about a monster and they think you're talking about that, but you're talking about some trauma you had when you were a kid, you know, or something personal and being witty enough to like describe something that sounds like a monster, but it's something real to you. You know what I mean?
Like so that's, a lot of Alkaline Trio songs. And stuff
Definitely. Like,
for sure.
He like, it's kind of funny. Like we never talk about it, but you went and saw him, and I was like, "Oh yeah, he does. He's like a fan of him. It was cool." Yeah.
I was not a huge fan of him. I saw him open for Coheed in Cambria, and I, you know, I knew a few songs of theirs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched them live. I was like, wow, okay.
That's all right. I felt. I knew a couple songs. Yeah. I liked them. And yeah. I was like, I appreciate them more. And I'm definitely going to have to listen to a full listen to their whole discography now, because they put on a stellar performance.
It's very underlying gore.
Yeah.
Punk. You know, it sounds like it's Blink 182, but they're talking about zombies and vampires and shit, dude. So yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of them, didn't the lead singer play in Blink 182?
Yeah, he did for a while. I think 2015 or 2016 up through 2022 or something like that. So I mean,
yeah, because that old dude left to go study aliens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turns out he was right.
Man, I would love to meet an alien or a ghost or anything of some other life form.
That's awesome.
I feel like we're all going to be disappointed because we're so jaded. Like, yeah. we've seen such good quality things in movies. Yeah. We would just be
like, ah,
this is it.
That was it. Yeah.
You got orange skin. what else can you do?
Fucking Oompa Loompa or what?
Yeah. Are you an X-Men?
X-Men. Speaking of that, X-Men 97 starts pretty soon on Disney awesome. Plus. Yeah, I was just watching season 3 of the original X-Men series with my daughter.
Nice.
And she's like, "Who's that? Who's this?" Of course, she knows who like Wolverine is.
She probably didn't know who Gambit was or
Gambit. Like, she's like
Banshee.
She's like, "Why is he talking like that?" I'm like, "Cause he's from
Raging Cajun,
Louisiana." Yeah, Gambit.
I thought it was pretty cool in the trailer. He straight up charges up Wolverine's claws. I'm like, that's pretty dope.
Yeah. He's like on his shoulders, charging his claws up.
So awesome. I like how they're doing. We're getting off topic again, but I like how they're doing. You know, like Deadpool with the Loki series with
time.
TVA and all that.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought that was over.
I think they're trying to rewrite Kang, man. I think they're trying to get like move on.
Yeah, because
figure out some way.
All dude fucked up royally. So
yeah.
It sucks. Anyways.
Yeah.
Ernest has no idea what the hell we're talking about.
You're not wrong.
Renamed after Ernest P. World?
No.
Oh, man. That's still cool. He saved the world.
Well before that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Ernest T. Judd.
Nice.
No.
Is that the character from the Dukes of Hazzard? No?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry. See, Ernest is originally from Chicago. I'm originally from Detroit, but we've both been down here in the South for
a long time.
So, I mean, you can
1995.
You can you moved down here a year before I did. So, we've been down here forever.
This is home.
We're Southern. Are you both from North Carolina?
We're both from
born and raised.
Cool.
We're both from Fort Mill, South Carolina. Yeah.
Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Yeah, both of us born and raised.
When I first moved down here, I moved to Fort Mill. And it was a culture shock for me, man. So I was renting this home in Fort Mill. My neighbor next door, his name was Blackjack.
Blackjack Mulligan?
No.
Okay. That's a different person.
I wish. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I don't
necessarily know if I know him.
Was he on the police force?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know
him. Dude, that's like my...
So...
Somebody in my...
He actually got kicked off of every... Well, that was a story at the time. He got kicked off of every police squad in South Carolina for brutality.
Yeah, he was a vicious dude.
I've
heard about him.
The dude was like 400 pounds. He'd mow his lawn with all his shirt on and like a Glock stuck in his pants. I had a puppy dog named Babe, Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Okay. I named my dog Babe. Well, my dog would always get loose and run around to the back of his trailer. And I'd go out there, Babe, come here, babe. One day I get a knock on my front door. It's your county sheriff. He says, hey, your neighbor next door, Blackjack, says you're stalking his daughter. I'm like, what? I didn't even know he had a daughter. He goes, yeah, he said you stand outside and yell, hey, baby, come here, baby. I said, I was like, Sheriff, listen, my dog's name is Babe, like Babe Ruth. and said, she gets loose and runs around to his backyard because he has dogs, and I'm trying to get my dog back. I said, I didn't even know anyone else lived in that trailer with him. I've never seen another soul in that house. So he hands me a restraining order. I'm not allowed to set foot on his property.
Wow.
So the very a month later, my dog got loose again and ran around in the back of his house, and he was trying to shoot my dog. It was a puppy.
Yeah.
Dang. He's back there shooting at it. I'm like, dude, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? He goes, I know the dog's gonna bite me. I'm like, dude, it's a puppy, man. What the hell's wrong with you? But, you know, I got the fuck out of there quick, though.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Moved to Charlotte, which was a little better, but Yeah, I moved into Coffee Creek apartments back before Walmart and all that shit was across the street. It was all woods.
Is your neighbor named Poker? Dumb joke. Sorry.
And on that note.
Yeah, it's like we need to end the show now. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Anyways, do you guys have any favorite horror movies that you guys watch?
Ooh, yeah. What's your favorite horror movie, Jared?
Like,
well, I mean,
or like one,
what's more of one? A slasher, but I mean, one of my favorite movies of like all time is Halloween, 1978. Mm-hmm. Not the Rob Zombie shit.
I didn't mind the Rob Zombie shit, but it's all right.
I liked Michael and Rob Zombies because he seemed opposing and like choke slamming people and crushing their face.
You know? Like the last one was fucking brutal, dude. Like there wasn't a second without someone being killed.
Yeah,
it was like, oh my god, damn.
Maybe I need to check him out again. I was very harsh on the on his take on it, but it's just I love the original so much.
Yeah,
yeah.
Another good. I really like The Exorcist.
I tried watching the remake that they just did.
And I heard it wasn't good. I haven't watched it yet.
I stopped like a couple of times. I'm like, all right, come on.
I haven't checked it out yet.
And then, I don't know, like another one. And probably like, I don't know, they're not really horror. I mean, I guess I'm judging it now. Like everything's like so much like gore and so wild. But what is it? Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Such a good one.
That's a classic.
So good.
I'm a sucker for the Amazon B movie horror films. What was that?
Cannibal Holocaust?
Yeah, that one and the one with the llama from space that shoot lasers out of his eyes and was killing people. That was awesome. It was terrible.
I've never seen that. Yeah. I need to see that. Yeah, holy shit.
It's on there and it's free. there's a bunch of like really terrible films on there that are awesome.
Gotcha.
I'm a sucker for them though. I can't watch them if the kids or my wife are under it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What's your favorite one?
I don't know, man. Like that. I really like it. I always like, you know, you like revert back to your childhood. I think about like being a kid and like I ended up moving to Indian Land and lived with my dad and he had a big pasture and stuff. And I would watch like Silver Bullet on those Saturday morning movies that would come on after the cartoons. For some reason, they always play like It or something. It was never, or it would be like random, like what's the movie with Clint Eastwood and the orangutan?
Any Which Way But Loose?
Yes. It'd be like that or
the Right Turn Stephen King's It. Yeah.
And I would watch like, and I would always catch Batman. That was like the last thing that would come on for the animated stuff. And I don't know, I guess stuff like that, or I absolutely love the Lost Boys. Isn't scary. I mean, they're not horror movies, but I guess I like stuff like that. And I mean, I don't know. I dig a bunch of. It's like kind of weird asking someone who's a horror fan, like, what exactly is it? Is your favorite one? You know, so I couldn't pick one, but I like recently started rewatching True Detective, the first season of that again,
dude. Me and my wife just finished that, so we watched the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely.
Second season, I was still lost.
Yeah.
We got to like the third or fourth episode. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. But we had started. We didn't know that there was three other seasons.
Yeah.
So we started on season four. And
Night Country, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ended. And we're like, That doesn't make any sense. What the hell like just happened there?
I feel like they put so much mystique on it being like the Yellow King and all these things from the first season.
Right.
It was kind of disappointing when you find out what actually happened.
Yeah, we had started on 4 and, you know, the whole thing with the circle and everything. And we started on season 1. We're like, oh, they're all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're not. No. sorry to ruin it for anyone who's going to watch it. But,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, we started season 2 and I'm like, this is, wait a minute.
Yeah, that movie, the second one was like about like money laundering and stuff. The most redeeming stuff about it is like seeing Colin Farrell like act a fucking fool and beat up the bully. He was bullying his kid.
Oh, yeah. He beat his ass with stealing his shoes.
He's like, 12-year-old, fuck you. Or whatever. You know, so.
Man. When I was a kid, like the first movie that scared the shit out of me was Poltergeist, man.
Oh, yeah.
That fucking clown, dude. We had one. We had that clown in our house. And that some bitch didn't last long after I watched the movie.
Yeah.
We burned his ass in the backyard.
Dude, I used to get that clown and one of the Muppets. It's from the Muppet movie. He's got a huge nose and a beard. And long stripe arms, I think, on his stuff. I used to get those two mixed up, man. Like, that Muppet used to terrify the shit out of me. So I wouldn't even watch Muppets because I thought it was the same thing as Poltergeist.
I was afraid to watch the Muppets after I watched American Werewolf in London because there's that scene where the kids are in their house watching the Muppets and the zombie Nazis come in and mow them all down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was afraid. I was like, I'm not going to watch the Muppets anymore because I'll be killed. And then, you know, as I got older,
right,
I realized like my aunt let me watch My Bloody Valentine as a kid. Dude, I didn't sleep for 2 days.
The remake is really terrible. Good too.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the remake first, and then I watched the original.
Yeah.
That's like you ever seen The Town That Dreaded Sundown?
No.
There's like a remake of it, and the old one is so campy. Like,
isn't it like, based off a real thing though?
In Texas. Yeah.
That's like some murder where it's like a sack over his head. They never found out who it was, but it's based off of that. It's like, it was a real dude like killing people.
Well, I don't know if it was real or not, like, but it's freaking funny. The first one?
Isn't Texas Chainsaw Massacre based off a true story?
That's based off of
Ed Gein.
Ed Gein, like little bits and pieces
from Plainville.
From him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, because he was digging people corpses up and making dresses and belts and what like lampshades. But here's the thing: is like, even as a kid, I remember hearing that and being like, I wonder how that worked. You know, like how did they make the lampshade out of a boob? You know, or
he had a belt made of nipples and the lampshade.
Nipples.
The lampshade was just skin, but yeah.
Wow. Mm.
It's wild though.
That shit happens though, man.
Yeah, people are fucking crazy, dude.
When my parents used to have a condo down in Sarasota, Florida, and like 10 houses down was Stephen King's condo.
Oh, oh wow.
No windows.
Damn.
On the beach, right on the beach.
No view.
No windows.
Dang.
Brutal.
Yeah.
He had to like be in there just wigged out over his...
But I mean, why even buy a house on the beach if you're not going to have any windows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you got that money, why not, man?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Stephen King. I did like the older It versus the newer It. I don't think the newer ones are scary at all.
They weren't scary. I think it was cool, like seeing like the good, modern iteration of like what he looked like and stuff. But Tim Curry is the GOAT.
Yeah, I always remember watching that, like just being, I was terrified for years of the drain in my tub.
Yeah.
Just because of that shower scene. Yeah. I was like, is he going to like pop out? And
it was always that first scene with the girl and the tricycle. Because we had like the clothesline in the backyard.
Oh,
and it wasn't even like, they don't show anything. It's just that those little blips, you see him. Mm-hmm. And then you just hear, I think you hear her scream.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you do is the cops showing up and it's like, It's enough to terrify you as a kid. It's still enough to send chills up your spine when you're an adult now.
Yeah. Or like a Leatherface. What in one of the, was it like the it beginning?
The remake. Dude.
The remake. He hit that dude running through the.
Because the old guy in the wheelchair is like, he's like, you're dead or something. You're deader than you know it or something like that. And
sounds like
that's when he pops out from the freezer door or whatever. And then chases the girl and the guy out of the house. And the guy gets tangled up in like the, I think they're, I want to say they're bloody sheets, but he gets tangled up in them, and Leatherface just pops out of nowhere and just cuts his leg off.
I saw it. Yeah.
Cool stuff.
God almighty.
Another one that got me when I was a kid was The Shining.
Yeah.
And I think the scariest thing, I mean, it was a visual, like, you know, the parts that are like shocking or whatever. But what got me is we lived in apartment 237. So he goes up to 237. I'm like, of all numbers, why does it have to be this? And at the time, that's when I first saw it was apartment 237. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I was running up the stairs, like shutting the lights off, then bolting up the stairs because I thought something was going to get like Chucky.
That's me every night.
Dude, I used to do that as a kid, man. You always think there's something's going to
things go bump in the night. So
when I was a kid, I'm a huge. There we go. I'm a huge fan of Halloween. Me and my youngest daughter always do a hell of a job on our yard. But when I was a kid, my dad ran one of the best haunted houses in the state of Michigan.
Nice.
Like, they had people out, they had lions out the kazoo every year, man. They had a graveyard out there. I don't know if you guys, how old are you guys?
35.
Maybe. So back in the day, they used to do the Saturday matinee with Dracula, with the old black and white films.
Okay.
I forget his damn name. They got him to come out one year and sign autographs in the cemetery. No.
Oh, the guy that hosted?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. No, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Is it the same guy that hosted the TNT stuff in the 90s?
No.
Okay.
That's to do with a top hat and
I can't remember his name.
Forget his name too, but like people would be in line to get his autograph. They actually dug graves, and they had people down in the grave, like with the door and shit, dude. And they pop out, dude.
You're terrifying.
No, it was terrifying, dude. I was, you know, as a kid, I was scared as hell. Now that I've gotten older, you know, I'm like, I fucking love this shit, dude. Horror films. Sorry. Make me laugh a lot of times. And my wife's like, that's not funny. That's disgusting. I'm like, no, that's funny. I'm like, the dude's, he chopped off his hand and waved it in his face. That's hilarious. He's waving at him with his whole
head. Yeah.
I'm like, it's not real. It's fake. You just got to, you know, go with a, with
it's
a,
like, with Friday the 13th, the scene where he has the one, I can't remember what movie it is, and they do it. I know they do it in Jason X, but in the simulator. But it's he grabs someone in a sleeping bag and smashes them against the tree. Just by the end, like holding them by their feet and just smashing them into the tree. It's like, it's absurd. It's brutal and absurd, but it's so funny.
What's that one you sent me of the bear? A bear like annihilates his kid. I think it's Prophecy or something.
I have idea. He just shoots the bear.
Yeah, it's like this bear throws this guy and he explodes in this.
Just like knocks this kid. He starts running away in his sleeping bag and like he hits him from the back and he hits him so hard the kid like hits the tree and explodes.
I think it's Prophecy. I think it's
like, I'm not sure what it is, but it was funny though.
I remember being a kid and staying up late and we had sleepaway camp.
Oh yeah.
And no one was there with me. So at the end of the movie when it's permanently on her face and it's like all the multicolored and like the high pitched noise, I remember that being very traumatic for me.
Dude, going to the video store and renting horror films.
Kids don't even understand.
As a kid, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you had no idea what the hell
you looked at the box, you looked at the back.
Yeah.
The front and the back. That's all you got.
Wrestling pay-per-views as a kid going to rent them, you know.
When I first got into wrestling, I used to go to Blockbuster and rent. They'd have the VHSs of the year and a half prior of pay-per-views, and I'd rent them. And I'm like, I don't have any idea what's going on. I see Stone Cold, that's cool by me.
Yeah.
And I would go rent them, and it's like, all right, I'm the kind of person that would fast forward through everything to get to Stone Cold. I'd watch his match, and I'd be like, I'm done with this.
Oh, well,
take it back.
Stone Cold's awesome, man.
One of the best.
Who did we go meet recently? Me and my daughter. We met Kane.
Oh, nice.
Kane.
corporate game.
I've heard he's a super, super, super nice guy.
Dude.
He's a giant.
I've got monster hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His hands make mine look small.
People say he's the strongest one, dude. They say like out of all the whole locker room.
What do you say?
So like I've heard like people say he's the strongest dude in the whole. Like when he was there, he was the strongest guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like Brock said he's like stronger than him. They like arm wrestled or something backstage, and it wasn't even a contest for him.
I always heard Cesaro was like really.
That's what I've heard too. Yeah, I've heard he's like
Swiss Superman, dude.
AEW. I wish I would have went to Sting's last match on Sunday.
Yeah, I really wanted to go.
I heard it was cool.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome.
I really like the one spot, the shattering Darby Allin.
Yeah. I've seen like multiple clips of that from like different people in the crowd. And then it made me laugh so much. There, that spot where he takes the two super kicks and they're like, I think they say something along the lines of "We hate you. We're not sorry." It's a play on the
Shawn
Michaels. Yeah. Like, we hate you. We're not sorry.
And they love you.
Super
yeah.
kick him and he just stands there and he like leans back and he just comes forward because he just no sells it.
Dude, he did that a lot in WCW, which was like his like roll up. But he took the Jackknife Powerbomb and like rolled right up. Like,
That's things holding up. Yeah. last time I was in Tampa. Which I fully expected to run into like Hogan.
Yeah.
Brother. But we were down there. We're like a really fancy spot of Tampa. My sister brought me down there and we were walking down the street. We're waiting on our table. I see these two badass fucking like Mercedes with like flat black painting on. I'm like, damn, those are cool as hell. And we're standing out front of this damn restaurant waiting on our table. And I hear, woo! And I said, that sounded like Ric Flair. I looked over, dude, you thought I was 12 years old. Holy shit, it is Ric Flair. Oh my God, it's Ric Flair. And I was like, dude, calm down. I'm like, no, that's Ric Flair. I'm like, he used to be in Charlotte. They're like, well, go talk to him. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go bother him.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to. I mean, every other person out there is running up to him, especially all the girls.
Yeah.
And of course, he will stop and take a picture with the girl any week. So, yeah. Anyways, any future shows or plans for the body bags?
Like we said, we're hopeful to get in the studio by the end of the year and with the songs we have lined up. And by the time this comes out, we have tomorrow will be announced. We're doing a show in Asheville on April 6th, Port City Blitz.
Okay.
I can't remember who all the bands are. I know Rocket 77, Wolves, and Wolves are playing.
Okay.
Sorry to anybody else. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that's going to be announced tomorrow. And then June 29th at the Rooster, we're playing some like all-day fest thing with – is it Skewer Rat or is it –
I'm not sure. I really can't. It's one or the other. Yeah. It might be Skewer Rat.
It's either Skewer Rat or Harriet Rip. That's June 29th at the Rooster in Gastonia.
That'll be our first time playing there. And so that'll be cool. There.
That's a cool.
Yeah, venue, I always man. See yeah. all these yeah. really great acts, like the clips from it and stuff. And I'm like, man, I want to play it.
That's
there.
Like an all ages place, too, right?
Yeah. And that's pretty cool. It's right on like the main strip there in Gastonia.
It's on Main Street.
Yeah.
Oh, well, nice. Yeah.
We played a venue up there, and it was a wrestling event, and we played, but it was like the craziest bar I've never been. There was like four bars in one bar.
Freeman's? Was it?
No, this was a place was called the Bronco Club. We played in 2016, I think, and it's like the back room was like a tiki bar where the wrestling event was, and then they had like a like that was like a bar, and then they had like a separate dance room that was like a rave with like black lights and like neon paint and all this. And they had a DJ in there, and then there was another one. I don't think I went into that one, but then there was like a honky tonk kind of bar
with saloon,
and they had little swinging doors. And we went in. They had a bar in there, and the guys like singing. Can't remember the name of the song. I remember that what song it is. I just can't remember the name. But they did karaoke, and it was a cool end of the night. Watch a wrestling show and get drunk, played, and then
sing karaoke.
Yeah, and they had awesome. Like they had like 10 or 12 tables in there too.
Yeah,
good place, man.
Gastonia. G-Town.
I just wrestled there not too long ago at the the veterans.
Wait. You actually wrestle?
One time. I've done it one time, folks. I'm waiting for a rematch. I need a rematch. I fought Justin Fireball in a one-on-one, and then when he got the best of me, I made sure I had the last laugh. I choked him out with a trash bag. I meant it. I meant every bit of that.
I think we should find something.
Yeah.
In Vibes Podcast versus the Body Bags.
Oh, man. We'd get owned bad, right? Nah.
Like,
get the tables.
Oh, of course.
This table.
Yeah. No, this one sucks. If you sit on this thing, it'll fall over.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You already have a tag name picked out. We're going to be called the Mama's Boys.
Oh, nice.
This table was made in Buffalo.
Was it?
We're both
I understand.
We're both raised by our mothers, so we're Mama's Boys like Jason.
Oh, that's some fucking badass, dude.
Try to get like a heater, like some girl dressed in like a nightgown with pin rolls in her hair. And, like the rolling thing for dough. Come out with us.
Dude.
Good tag team right there, Mama's Boys.
Dude, you know what? I'm going to work on this, man.
All right.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. I've been.
We know a guy with a ring.
I've been wanting to go to George South's wrestling school.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'm 50 years old. Like, my body says, fuck you, man.
Hey, but your heart's telling you.
Yeah, this guy, go ahead and do it, man. Put
through something. Yeah. It was cool. Like, it happened really quickly. It wasn't a very long match. And it was really funny to have tried to. I almost clotheslined his nose off his face, and my whole arm went numb. And I was like, I'm about to get a receipt. And I turned around, and I got kicked so hard in the stomach that I think I maybe ruptured an ulcer or something.
Yeah. That's something you got to expect if you hurt.
I never took a bump before I got in there and did that. And I was like, oh, this sucks. Like, but I do want my rematch, Fireball. You're hearing it first. Uh-oh. Right here.
Here we go.
Fireball.
Let's make it happen.
Call him out. Let's do it.
Fireball.
Bitch.
Buy him a bunch of Fireball, everybody. He doesn't like Fireball, but.
If you do go rematch Fireball.
Yes.
I'll be in your corner.
There we go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You better bring somebody big, dude. Yeah.
6'3", 340 pounds. Let's bring it on, man. Let's go. Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Anyways, I think that's it for the week, guys. I don't know. I got a bunch of shows coming out. We talked about earlier. I think that's it, man. Ernest, you got anything coming out with Beer With Me?
No, that's dead, man. I got another podcast now. It's called Behind the Beer.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
It's a good name, Behind the Beer.
Behind the Beer.
Yep. So, next episode coming out will be with Jared Steele of Lost Worlds Brewing, who Lost Worlds is getting ready to open up a location in Midtown in the Metropolitan.
All right, cool.
Should be end of this month.
Nice.
Yep.
And just real quick, I don't know, everyone knows about Dan Wade. Sorry you're gone, Dan. Rest in peace. We love you, man.
Such a great guy.
Wooden robot will hopefully carry on without him, but sorry, man. That sucks.
Yep. Heart goes out to Ryan and Lindsay and Josh and all the rest of the Wooden Robot family.
I love Dan, man. When I first went gluten-free, Evan told me Wooden Robot's beers were gluten reduced, so me and Dan became buddies through that. I mean, I talked to him about it quite a bit. So
He's such a good guy. Yeah. He was ready to help anyone in the brewing community, whenever.
Yeah,
and was a great wealth of knowledge. He was one of the people who really, kind of put Charlotte on the beer map.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, people would ask for trades and ask for wooden robot cans.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyways, that's it for the week, guys. Thanks, guys. Thanks to you to the Body Bags for being on the show. Yeah. We finally made it happen.
What's a bad time to roll?
Yeah.
Keep on drinking. Keep on tipping.
That's right. All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.
A huge shout out to our gracious host, Tommy's Pub. Located at 3124 East Wade Drive, Tommy's Pub is a small neighborhood bar that's big on music and community. Go to Tommy's Pub's Facebook page where they regularly provide updates about upcoming events to include weekly open mic night, karaoke, and live music from some of the best up-and-coming bands in the Queen City. Thank you, Tommy's Pub, for hosting M-Vibes Podcast.
Thank you for listening to M-Vibes Podcast, home of good music, good libations, and good vibes. Please like, rate, and subscribe to M-Vibes Podcast on your favorite listening platform. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, consider supporting M-Vibes Podcast with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. You can find the link on our Spotify show page. Email us at mvibespodcast@gmail.com if you would like to be a guest or have an idea for a guest we should interview. M-Vibes Podcast is produced by BWM Productions.
Opinions and views expressed by guests are not necessarily the opinions or views of the M-Vibes team or BWM Productions.